Well, friends, I want to ask you a question this morning. What on earth is God doing? What on earth is God doing? Or put slightly less cryptically, what is God doing on his earth today? If Hollywood is to be believed, and I hope that immediately arouses your discerning faculties, perhaps God is an unassuming Morgan Freeman type character, popping up here and there to teach us a lesson about how to be patient or how to be kind without ever saying anything too absolute. Or maybe God is more like the character played by Alanis Morissette in the movie Dogma, dropping in on Earth in human form every now and again, playing a bit of pinball and then going on the rampage. Is that what God's in the business of doing today? Well, what is God really doing on earth today? In some Christian circles, there's a lot of talk of God doing a new thing in our day, a new thing in this generation. And I think that means something that he hasn't done before. And whilst there's some truth to that, I want to show us this morning that the main thing that God is doing in his world today is actually quite an old thing, if you like. And that is, he's rebuilding his people. He is rebuilding his people. Today, all around the world, God is rebuilding and restoring to himself those who are his. He's teaching anyone who follows him to obey him, and he's helping us to teach others to do the same. And the reason that we can be confident that that's what God is doing today is because actually that's what God has done already in the past. That's what God has already done in the time of a man called Ezra. So strap yourselves in this morning. We're going on a journey back 2,500 years, looking at rebuilding God's people, our world, and Ezra's world, as part of our Christ in the Old Testament series. Now, we're not going to immediately see parallels between Ezra and Christ of the New Testament. I'm not quite sure that's the right approach here. But what we are going to do is say, well, God, what were you doing in Ezra's time? And to the extent that there are parallels today, God, what are you doing? What are you doing in your world today? Let's begin by asking ourselves, who was this guy Ezra? Maybe you've heard of him before, maybe you've read the book of Ezra. But perhaps for most of us here, he might seem an unfamiliar character to us. Who was this chap we call Ezra? Well, Ezra was a scribe, what we might call a scholar today. And he lived during the time when God's people were exiled to what was then Persia. In about 457 BC, Ezra led a group of Jews from captivity back to Jerusalem to restore true worship to the Jewish temple, which had been rebuilt 73 years earlier. In the Bible, the single book of Ezra Nehemiah, which was built on Ezra's memoirs, records the religious and the political reforms that were made by Ezra, and then later the story of Nehemiah, how he led the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem amidst opposition. Now, Ezra was very much a charismatic leader. In his time, he oversaw a revival of the nation, a revival of interest in the law of the Lord, a spiritual revival in knowing God. He's widely acknowledged as being a sort of second Moses, changing the face of Judaism from a has-been exiled religion to a revitalized people of the book movement. Ezra was God's man for God's moment. Well, I wonder if you can get a feel for the kind of transformation that God was doing in Ezra's day. A transformation which I believe God wants to do, and to an extent is already doing, in our day. And this morning I want to highlight three aspects of Ezra's life from Ezra 7, verse 10. That's our theme verse today. Three aspects of Ezra's life that God was using to rebuild his people. And three things which I think we should all be doing if we want to bring positive change to ourselves and to those around us. So the first thing is this. To rebuild his people today, God is leading us to seek his word. To rebuild his people today, God is leading us to seek his word. Well, it sounds quite basic, doesn't it? But in Ezra 7:10, our theme verse, it says, Ezra had devoted himself to the study of the law of the Lord. Probably a better translation for the word study is to seek, to pursue, to earnestly search out. What happens if you lose your three-year-old in Sainsbury's? Well, I hope you would earnestly search, you would seek, you would pursue, you would look down every aisle, you would go to customer services, you would walk up and down the store until you find her, perhaps hiding behind the bananas. For Ezra, earnestly seeking the law of the Lord meant studying hard and wrestling with what was the Bible then, the first five books that we have today. For us, seeking the Word of God, seeking the Word, means pursuing the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, because ultimately they point towards the Lord Jesus, who is the true living Word of God. So I'm not really talking about academic study here. I'm not talking about needing to go to Bible college. After all, Jesus never went to Bible college. But what we are talking about is as we open up the Bible every day, and I hope that we do, if we're Christians, open up the Bible every day. I'm talking about experiencing God and understanding how God related to his people in the Old Testament such that we can understand today what God is doing and being able to participate in God's purposes for today. Now, if this is the first time that you've come to church, or if you're new, if you're relatively new, you might find it quite strange, all this talk of seeking God's word, finding God in the Bible, reading the Bible for ourselves. It might sound a little bit over the top. Shouldn't we bring it in a bit, curb our enthusiasm? After all, most of us here are British. Well, if that is you, then I'd like to gently encourage you to think for yourself what it means to seek God's word, to seek God and his word, just as we're praying that Tilly May will as she grows. If you've never thought about what it means to seek God and his word, you could try reading a gospel, one of the four accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible. You can grab one from the back afterwards for free. You can read for yourself who this man, Jesus, is. You can read why he came to save us from our sin, as we had read in our Colossians reading earlier. You can read for yourself why it was necessary for Jesus to die as a substitute for us. You can read for yourself the evidence for the resurrection. You can read for yourself what it means to follow Jesus. And as we've seen this morning, baptizing a child is a statement of intent, isn't it? It's a statement of intent. We're saying we want Tilly May to grow up to seek God through his word. That one day Tilly May, as Francis said, might decide for herself whether or not she wants her sin to be forgiven by Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. Well, that's what Lindsay and Gareth want for her. What about you? Have you ever considered what it means to seek God's word? If you're interested, as well as reading a gospel, you could come on the Christianity Explored course starting on the 9th of February, as Francis told us about. But otherwise, you could download, if you want, the Christianity Explored iPhone app, which gives some basics of Christianity, got some answers to tough questions. All the information on the Christianity Explored course is available to download for free, and you can earnestly seek out God and His Word while you're on the train, or waiting in a queue, or perhaps bored in a meeting. Maybe not this one, though. But what if you would already call yourself a Christian? In that case, what does it mean to seek, to earnestly seek out God's Word? Well, I've found recently that when you marry someone that you love, you want to learn as much as possible about them. You want to spend as much time as possible with them. And it's the same with God. It's the same with God. If we love God, then we want to spend as much time as possible with Him. And we want to learn as much as possible about Him through opening up His Word every day. Because His Word points us towards His Son, the Lord Jesus. And we can earnestly seek Him and enjoy Him and experience Him every day. Well, God is leading us, and of course has been leading us as a church, to earnestly seek Him through the Bible. Or to paraphrase the great 18th century preacher John Wesley, let us be a church of but one book. And we're not talking about the Book of Common Prayer. So whether we're here this morning and we feel encouraged or we feel discouraged, whether we feel full of energy or we feel tired, we feel happy or we feel sad, are we eager to go to the Bible, to the source of all help, the source that helps us to know God, to help us understand God, and even through the Book of Psalms, to express ourselves to God? I don't know about you, but so often I find myself going to other things to try to make sense of the world around me. For me, it's BBC World Service or perhaps a newspaper. But God wants us to drink fresh from His Word, fresh from a running stream rather than from a stagnant pool. I remember 7 years ago climbing through a tight crevasse into the centre of a mountain up in northern Israel near Haifa. And when I'd made my way through the rock, I'd stood inside this huge mountain, hollowed out, and there was complete darkness, and there was complete stillness, and there was complete quiet, except for a constant drip, plop, drip, plop, drip, plop on my head. Well, the inside of this mountain was the source of a stream. I opened my mouth and I tasted the water. Utterly pure. Utterly refreshing. Fresh from the source. And friends, God wants us also to drink fresh from the source of all truth, the Bible, His Word, and not from stagnant pools. Well, that's one way I believe that God is rebuilding His church today, through leading us to the source to make sense of the world. Well, if that's the first aspect of Ezra's life from Ezra 7:10, what's the second? To rebuild His people today, God is leading us to seek His Word, but of course God is also leading us not just to seek it, but to do His Word, to do His Word. To do is a very simple verb, but that's literally what Ezra 7:10 says. Ezra devoted himself to the observance of the law of the Lord. It has the sense of accomplishing the law of the Lord, but to do the law or to do the Word is probably the best way to put it. Well, what does doing the Word look like? Well, it means realizing where we're not living up to the Bible standards, being honest with God, and allowing God to change our hearts. It means, quite simply, obeying Him. Obeying Him. In chapter 9 of Ezra, Ezra leads the people in confession and repentance towards God. And he prays, "Oh, our God, what can we say after this? For we have disregarded the commands you gave through your servants, the prophets." And he says, "We've just become like other nations that we're called to be different from. We've become corrupt, the same as them. And then in chapter 10, the sin and disobedience of the nation is dealt with on a case-by-case basis, and the nation is brought back into right relationship with God. We must not just talk about it, we must also do it. But let me add something here. It would be wrong to think of doing God's law as a negative thing, a works-driven merit approach to knowing God. I suppose that we're influenced in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul, and his approach to the law is perhaps more along the lines of the song by The Clash, "I fought the law and the law won." But in the Old Testament, and in Ezra especially, the attitude towards the law of the Lord is more like perhaps something like the Beatles song, "Got to get you into my life." Or else the words of the epic Psalm 119, "Oh, I love your law, O Lord. Because when I do it, it changes me." You see, the reason that we seek God's word is not so that we can learn Bible facts merely, but it's so that we can do God's word. It's so that we can be changed. As the great American preacher D.L. Moody said, "The Bible wasn't given for our information, but for our transformation." In other words, when we encounter God through his word each day, we change and we do. We want to observe and to do it. But if we don't seek God's word, we don't do. And actually, very quickly, the Bible can seem an old, dusty book that is used to prop up our bed. The Bible seems irrelevant very quickly. We don't want to allow God to change our hearts if we're not constantly seeking and constantly doing. Well, in 1988, Nike came up with a slogan which was chosen by Advertising Age magazine as one of the top five ad slogans of the 20th century. But what does it mean to just do it? Just do what? Well, that's the beauty of it. It can apply to anything. Don't just talk about it. In an athletics context, doesn't really achieve much talking about it. It's about doing it. Just do it. Do the word. Sometimes we might say, "Well, what do you do? What do you do?" "Well, I'm an IT consultant." "Well, what do you do?" "I do the word of God." Have you ever said that? "I do the word of God." Oh, really? Does that pay well? Well, extremely, but just in a different currency. The salary for doing the word is God's presence with us. The salary for doing God's word is his presence with us. Verse 9 of chapter 7 says that Ezra that the gracious hand of his God was upon him. Ezra was a doer as God was with him. God's spirit was with him, helping him to rebuild his people. And in a general sense, if you're here and you're a Christian, that is true for you too. That God's promise is to dwell in you, to rebuild your life and to rebuild his church today. God will be with us, reminding us of who he is, reminding us what he wants, guiding us into truth, convicting us of sin, helping us to just do it. God pays us with himself. So to rebuild his people today, God is leading us to seek his word, to do his word, and finally, Ezra 7:10, to teach his word. To teach his word. 7 verse 6. Ezra was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses. And verse 10. For Ezra had devoted himself to seeking God's word, to doing it, and to teaching it in Israel. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. God's people realize that they need to return to God and the law that he's given them. So Ezra, he pulls out the long-lost book of the law. He dusted off, and then from 6 a.m. until noon, with all the returned exiles standing before him in Jerusalem, without any amplification at all, he proceeds to read out and explain the scriptures. Well, I mean, can you imagine that? How many songs could you stand for? Maybe two? Maybe three? How many minutes could I go on for before you get bored? 20? 30? Imagine standing attentively, listening to a sermon for 6 hours. What's the text? Oh, it's the first 5 books of the Bible in their entirety. If that was at this church, that would be a very long PowerPoint presentation. Well, it is true that God gives us pastors and Bible teachers and scholars to help rebuild his people today. But it's also true that God wants each of us, if we follow him, to participate in teaching God's word to others. Each of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to stand at the front and give a 3-point sermon. But it does mean that as part of God's plan to rebuild his people in our time, it does mean that we need to take every opportunity that we get to share with others what we're experiencing, what we're studying, what we're doing ourselves. Well, how? Well, if you're a parent, and if you're a Christian, then obviously you have a God-ordained responsibility to teach your children God's word and God's way. That's what Lindsay and Gareth have said that they'll do in front of us all today. It's as simple as that, teaching our children to know God and to love God. If you're part of a small group, then whether you're leading the group or not, we can all contribute something to a Bible study, or occasionally we might lead the Bible study. Whenever you're meeting a Christian friend, you can encourage one another, perhaps share a verse that God has put on your heart that week. That's certainly a form of teaching. Well, in whatever circumstance God has put us in, whatever circumstance we find ourselves, let's be those who are teaching one another God's word. As you know, teaching others is also a great way to learn ourselves. It's a great way to teach ourselves. You may know that we learn 10% of what we read, we learn 20% of what we hear, we learn 30% of what we see, we learn 50% of what we see and hear, 70% of what we discuss with others, we learn 80% of what we experience, but we learn 95% of what we teach to someone else. In other words, teaching teaches us. It's perhaps unfortunate that occasionally teachers can get bad press. You know, you've heard the phrase, those who can, do. Those who can't, teach. Those who can't teach, teach PE. But not only is that unfair, it's also not true. With Ezra, it's more a case of those who teach can. Those who teach can. The very act of teaching others is good for ourselves. The very act of sharing our experiences with others is good for teaching us. And that is one more way that God is using today to rebuild his church. So let's bring this all together. What on earth is God doing today? Well, he's rebuilding his people, just like in Ezra's time. We may not be in ancient Israel today, we may not have a Jewish temple, we may not live by the Jewish law, we certainly may not have 6-hour sermons, thank God. But just as God was rebuilding his people in Ezra's time, so he's using us as we travel back to the future, as it were, back to today. He's using us to rebuild his church, his people today, through his word, the Bible, which points to the Lord Jesus. Well, today God is asking each of us here, how in my life can I seek his word more? How can I go to the source of all truth? What's God asking me to do this morning? How can I actively do his word? What area of my life is God putting his hand on right now and asking us, how can I do his word? And how can I teach God's word? How can I share my experience with others? Let's have a moment of quiet and we'll just reflect on these things, and maybe I'll pray before we sing. Thank you, God, for what you did in Ezra's day. Thank you that by your Spirit you brought your people back to Jerusalem to worship you, to be seekers after you, to do what you've instructed, and to teach others to do the same. Thank you that you are the same God who we call upon today. The God of Ezra and the God of Israel is our God. And we thank you that though our situations are very different, though our circumstances may differ, thank you that you are in the same business today of rebuilding your people. And Lord, you could have done that through any means you chose, but it is a privilege that you've chosen your church to help rebuild your church. Lord, we're honoured and we're privileged to be a part of that. But please help us to take our responsibility seriously. Please help us to seek you earnestly, to do what you've put on our hearts and what's in your word, and to teach others to do the same. And Lord, if we're here this morning and we're not yet yours, we do not yet know you as our Lord and our Saviour, Lord, please prompt us to think about what it means to seek you, what it means to consider who you are and what you've done. And we pray this, that your name might be glorified even in our day. Amen. Amen.